This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast, Tuesday, February 8th. Jason Moore, Mike Wright, Andy Holloway with you.
Oh, the band is back together.
We even have both producers.
Ayo.
What's up, Foot Clan?
Try to distinguish them out there, listenership. That was the judge and the owl. And they're here. We have a full group.
We do.
I remember how to do this.
Yeah, it was great. Today at lunch, this was the first time since we have moved the Borgogan to Arizona that we had all of us together, which is crazy because that happened a long time ago.
It has been a wild few months, but we're back. We're back, and we've got the truth of the tight end position on today's show, which we'll get into a number of these ever-important and hard-to-secure elite tight ends and talk about some of the players that were performing, injuries, derailed seasons that, you know, I think there's a lot of question marks around which tight ends would be considered buys in dynasty leagues and keeper leagues.
Yeah, certainly.
Because we all know that, like, when you have one locked in, huge advantage on a week-to-week basis.
I have tried everything in my power to, in the league where we are, champ, Mike, to
yes.
acquire Kyle Pitts, including Kelsey and a first and second. That was turned down. And then in our other dynasty league, I was like, I got to have Kyle Pitts in some
sure.
dynasty league.
But
I have Mark Andrews, who I'm not going to go
also,
searching after
I Pitts. Believe the Owl has Kyle Pitts.
He does. Yes.
Now, see, one might make the argument that this would be an opportune time to trade Mark Andrews.
One could make that argument. I am very happy to have Mark Andrews.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would be very happy to have Mark Andrews,
look, you can be happy to have a player and still be willing to move them.
I love having that positional advantage in a dynasty league. It's been great with Kelsey for the last forever.
You saw Kyle Pitts got into the end zone, in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't think it could be done.
Did you guys watch any of the Pro Bowl?
I saw some highlight clips that made me want to throw up a little.
Yeah, they really were not giving it their all, at least at the beginning of the game.
I believe it was J.J. Watt that tweeted out he's seen walkthroughs yes. with more intensity.
But it was a little bit of a sad day in the Wright household. My son, who loves football, loves Madden, loves superstars, has been very excited for the Pro Bowl. And I have been doing my best.
Not to stifle that?
No, I've been trying to adjust expectations.
Trying to stifle that.
For what the Pro Bowl is, which is, I don't know why we still do this, because I don't blame the players. If I'm out there, there ain't no way I am risking anything of that could cause an injury to myself or to my family, to the NFL family. Like, it's not going to happen for this meaningless game. So we turn it on, and they're playing two-hand touch. Like, the refs are actually just, they're calling people down. There's interceptions galore because wide receivers are running at 30% speed.
It's the dumbest thing in the world.
It's a silly thing. I like the skill drills. I like that like they got dodgeball going. They're doing races. Like that's some more interesting stuff, which I didn't know when it was happening. I wish we need to get the marketing out there better. I don't care about the Pro Bowl. Market the other stuff. But anyway, so my son is watching, and he's just getting more and more upset to the point where eventually we're like 5 minutes in, and he's like, "Dad, you were right. I should never have looked forward to the Pro Bowl." And I'm like, "The NFL, this is what we're doing. There's got to be better ways to honor the true, you know, superstars that have the Pro Bowl season without the game." And I know this is a conversation that has been going on for a very long time, but yeah. it was sad to watch my son and his dreams of watching the players, watching like an ultimate Madden contest, and it's not a real football game.
Somebody's going to have a non-contact injury in the Pro Bowl, and it will be over. That's what'll happen.
I think that I don't remember off the top of my head, but they did like a beach flag football.
That seems like a problem.
And somebody tore an ACL during.
No, that makes sense. I mean, you can get hurt doing anything.
Yes.
So it's weird. I don't watch it. I did see that Kyler Murray, who we'll talk about in the news, had thrown three touchdowns in the Pro Bowl. That's why I saw the three clips.
But his first pass should have been a pick six.
Oh, yeah.
And then he threw a pick six shortly thereafter that.
So four touchdowns. Good job,
yeah,
Kyler.
Yeah, it was a weird thing.
We have some news to talk about. Not all good.
Yeah.
And then we have the truth to get into at the tight end position. A reminder for those of you joining us here in the prolonged preseason for 2022, mm-hmm. the offseason. On Super Bowl Sunday, which is coming up this weekend, the Ultimate Draft Kit for 2022, along with the Dynasty Pass. The pre-sale begins on Sunday. We will be doing a live stream at some point this weekend and be connecting with you guys to celebrate the pre-sale of the UDK. And here is the big exciting... Well, first of all, you get something immediately, right? Even though the UDK and all of the app and all the features, they come out on June 1st, if you get the UDK Plus right now, you get into the Dynasty Pass, which
That's
means you
right.
get access to a ton. I mean, I've seen people talking Dynasty more right now than I can ever remember for February. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, it's everywhere because it's a great, fun format to play that is currently, like, this is what you do this time of the year. You play Dynasty, and so, yeah, if you're not in a Dynasty League, you can get started in one of footclanleagues.com. We're doing right now our first rookie draft right now with some industry experts, a mock that will be in that UDK Plus as well.
But if you pre-order before March 10th, so from this Sunday on through March 10th, you'll be entered to win a Listener League spot.
Oh, baby!
Oh, if you're like, I don't have enough talent to enter the Listener League, here's your chance.
You can get in. You can win a spot. We're giving that away. You'll get the lowest price on the Ultimate Draft Kit. You'll get some gift cards. You'll get a digital copy of our book. And like I said, early access to all the off-season content. So you want the best value. Make sure you head to ultimatedraftkit.com this Sunday, right before Joe Burrow loses his first Super Bowl.
Oh, boo. Boo.
Did we do Super Bowl
We have not
picks?
Yet done it.
Do
no.
we save that?
Well, we did, but other teams who are
right.
since
no, I mean,
been
like,
vanquished.
Like, do you have it in your head right now who you think is going to win the game?
I do. I think that it will be, unfortunately, I think it'll be the Los Angeles Rams. I'm rooting for the Bengals. I'm rooting for Joe Burrow. I just think that the Rams are the better team, and I really do think that the fact that, you know, a couple of years ago, a lot of the core of this Rams team was there. Lessons learned, the experience. I think that will matter, you know, as the game goes on.
I took very early on the Rams -4. And then I took the under, which I think when I got it, it was 49.5. Because I think defense is going to rule this game. I think Aaron Donald is going to be too much. But, Mike, do you think Cincinnati can overcome?
I don't. Okay. I mean, it's not like it will be a shocking thing because they've made it. But, like, that game against the Titans, just a couple weeks ago, that thing came down to the very end. And I think Tannehill had like three interceptions and they still barely won. I know they dominated the Chiefs in the second half of the championship week. The Bengals are a very strange team.
Well, when you have a Cinderella story, every week feels like it's going to be pumpkin time.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
so,
yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Last week, everybody thought that, you know, it wasn't going to be. There's no chance, right? I mean, were they 7.5-point underdogs against Kansas City?
Yeah, and then at halftime, it was even like more done deal.
Yeah, so I'm always rooting in situations like this where I'm not vested in either team. I just love to see a great game. I'd love to see it come down to the end. And I don't know if I can handle Odell Beckham Jr., the Super Bowl champion. That may be tough, but sooner than later, we're going to see. All right, let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league.
Where do you want to start?
Well, we can start with what happened after the Pro Bowl, which was that
this is why you don't have a Pro Bowl.
Alvin Kamara was taken into custody by the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department on Sunday. According to Adam Schefter, it was a battery charge. He was held overnight on a $5,000 bond, and you know, that's basically it. He allegedly punched someone.
You're just charging battery.
Yeah, I mean, it was just weird. Like his battery. Anyway, go on.
He charged the battery 8 times, allegedly. So, as far as what this happens.
We don't know anything, really.
Yeah, we don't know much of anything. Obviously, a suspension could come, later. But usually the legal process will play itself out. And I don't know if, I don't know.
It's unfortunate with already bad vibes for Saints heading into the offseason.
All right. We'll move on. Yep. Juju Smith-Schuster likely headed to free agency.
Okay.
I would be headed there too, Juju.
Yes.
Kyler Murray unfollowed the Cardinals on Instagram and Twitter.
Here we go.
You reacted the strongest to this, and I'll just lay it out there. Kyler Murray. Going into, I think, this is year 4, right?
Yeah.
And so, first time he's eligible for an extension. And, you know, this is the new way to get a hold of the team, I guess, is unfollow them and delete your affiliations on your Instagram.
It is so childish and gross. Like, this is diva wide receiver stuff. That you're like, oh, they've removed. They did it. They scrubbed their socials for all of their team stuff. This is
middle school dating.
You weren't happy.
No, like, it's been as great as it looks like Kyler could become. Like the skill set is there for him to be a top 5 quarterback in the league. Like every once in a while, you see some of these passes where he's just so pinpoint accurate down the field. He's faster than a lot of the guys on the field. And then you see a lot of boneheaded stuff also on the field that is not Cliff Kingsbury's fault. I love blaming Cliff for stuff whenever I possibly can, but you see a lot of things on the field where you're like, Kyler, you have to know better that you can't possibly do that. So it was already just kind of upgrading to the way that the Cardinals season ended. And now you have this. Like, if this is truly over an extension, you're just now eligible for it. Like, hold on, man. Be the face of the franchise like you currently are. What are you doing scrubbing your social media?
I mean, we don't know what it's for. Maybe tomorrow it comes out with the new uniform reveal and everything is fine and this was all just part of it. Like, that's still in the realm of possibility. But if you did just scrub it because he's mad at them, it feels like the most... You use the word childish is exactly what I thought. It's like, dude... Grow up. I'm going to take you out of social media. It's like...
Maybe this is just how the next generation negotiates.
Maybe.
I mean,
by the next generation, you mean the children.
Well, I mean, I guess in some ways, but like, he's not alone in this.
No, I know. And
Patrick Peterson did it too. Maybe it's a Cardinal thing. Okay, so we don't know what's going on. There's always speculation with Kyler about the baseball career. And you know, I think you have a window, right? Like the attractive thing about the Bengals right now, year two for Joe Burrow, they're in the Super Bowl. You are going to have your core locked up at the lowest possible price for an extended period of time. That's the Russell Wilson window when they won and right. got there twice. Patrick Mahomes.
The Bengals have so much cap space.
Yeah, and so that's kind of – that's your chance to do it. And the Cardinals went pretty heavy in the all-in scheme of things last year, bringing in some older veteran, you know, J.J. Watt and A.J. Green. But
Zach Ertz.
Yeah, Zach Ertz, midseason trade. So it'll be interesting. It's unfortunate when you do see somebody that, you know, you're talking about dynasty and things like that. You'd love to know where a player is going to be. I believe only he and Cam Newton are quarterbacks that have thrown for 10,000 yards and 1,500 rushing yards through three seasons in the history of the NFL.
Yes.
Did you guys talk? I may or may not have watched all of the shows I missed.
I don't believe it.
Did you talk Washington Commanders?
Yes.
Yeah.
What were some of the public comments on the new name?
I think publicly the public is pretty disappointed, which of course it would be impossible to not be disappointed after a 2-year hiatus. Personally, I think it's pretty meh.
Yeah. Well,
very disappointing.
Now there was the
what's their nickname?
The Commanders.
No, I know, but you know the Cards.
The Pats. The Niners.
What do you call them? The Commanders.
The Manders.
The Manders.
They needed, and some people would say they needed benign. They needed to be boring. They needed a boring name. Mike, did you hate it too?
It was, when you wait that long for a name, it doesn't matter.
I thought Red Wolves was the best.
Yeah.
Because you can howl. You need the connect. You need something
sure.
you can do in the stands.
Oh, man, the Red Hogs, they could all snort.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. You know what's funny, though, is there are a lot of teams that are currently
Manders.
If they were to come out now, I mean, like the Cardinals. The Manders. Or the Packers. Like we accept them now because we're used to them.
Somebody brought up the Utah Jazz. I mean, somebody brought up that's a team name. And we're fine with it now. But come on.
Because
the Jazz?
Yeah, I mean, weren't they?
They were Louisiana, yeah.
Yeah, where it made sense.
Right. I mean, now I love it when they move because that's like there aren't Cardinals in Arizona.
Oh, wait, there are
like
a few.
Four of them.
And Lakes.
And they don't want to be here. They're trying to get out.
Yeah. Naming a team. Names are weird. Names are a strange
okay,
thing.
All right. Here's some coaching hires. We will have a breakdown episode for the implications of all the new head coaches. In time, but right now, quick hit opinions. Doug Peterson was hired as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, former Eagles head coach, brought Nick Foles to a Super Bowl, was instrumental in moving Carson Wentz from being a rookie to an MVP candidate. A lot of people in Philly, I learned this week when this was being discussed, don't blame Doug Peterson. Feel like it's really was never his fault. So did you guys like this hire? Do you like it for Trevor Lawrence? Do you like it for some optimism?
Originally, I didn't like the hire because I know one of the criticisms for Doug Peterson was that he didn't develop the younger people behind the team that he inherited. But the truth is the Jaguars are going to go as Trevor Lawrence goes. That's it. If Trevor Lawrence is great, the Jaguars will be fine. If Trevor Lawrence is a bum, the Jaguars will suck. It doesn't matter who the head coach is other than the development of Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, when Carson Wentz was a rookie, Doug Peterson was the coach, and he took him from a rookie to an MVP candidate, like you said. So I think it is a fine hire.
Did he do it or did Reich do it?
I mean, the team, right? Like, I'm sure it wasn't just any one person. It could have been other players on the roster. It could have been, you know, it takes a village, Mike. But
yes,
Doug Peterson was... Doug
to raise a franchise quarterback.
That's
yeah.
what they say. But Doug Peterson was the main man.
I have done some thinking about the whole, like, we're just so hyper-focused on this coach is good, this coach is bad, and then you look at a situation like Cincinnati and Zach Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Who, okay, you can like him, you cannot like him. Look, Zach Taylor or any other person was never going to make Andy Dalton / five backups stars. And they had 2 years there. Of failure, right?
Yeah.
And guess what? You get a quarterback, you're the best coach.
Quarterbacks make
yeah, it really
the
helps.
Coach.
It's just even early career stuff with some of the greats, the great coaches of all time, helps to have Tom Brady. Kevin O'Connell, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings.
Coming, he's the OC for the Rams, coming over, bringing that perfume of McVay.
Yes.
It still smells very sweet to teams out there.
Well of course it does.
You got the Super Bowl.
Both coaches in the Super Bowl.
No, I'm not saying McVay. Like, McVay's great, but I'm saying the trying to get the coaches who will be the next McVay because they have been within 6 feet of McVay.
Or you aim for youth, which the Dolphins hired Mike McDaniel, 38 years old, as their next head coach. Kind of a surprise. Former 49ers offensive coordinator.
He's been with Shanahan a long time, so he should bring that offense over there. I know if I had Jalen Waddle on my Dino squad, I'm super pumped right now.
I think I'd be encouraged in general for all offensive pieces there that you'll get another shot at developing and building that offense with Tua. Kellen Moore is expected to return to the Cowboys as offensive coordinator. I would have bet on him getting a job before Mike McDaniel just based on the buzz, but he's going to go back, and that's good for some offensive stability for Dak. Lovie Smith, the new head coach of the Texans.
Yep, going defense.
And
so weird to me.
Yeah, and he was their defensive coordinator, did a great job with really limited personnel, but kind of came in late to the coaching carousel of interviews here, where Brian Flores, you also had Josh McCown. So then all of a sudden, Lovie Smith's your head coach again, where he hasn't been a head coach in a while.
Yeah, he's a good coach. It just is surprising to me that they let their one-year head coach go, who was part of this team, and then maybe there was other stuff behind the scenes. It just seems weird to me that they would let him go. But Lovie Smith is a good head coach. Hopefully he works out well for the Texans.
And the Bears hired head coach Matt Eberflus. I think that's his name.
Yeah.
Over a week ago, we hadn't talked about it on the show yet, but that's another hire. New head coaching changes all over the place. And beginning of March, we'll have a coaching changes episode with all the fallout and all the rest of the coordinator hires and things of that nature. Anything other news-wise there, Brooksy?
No, sir.
Al, any news that you've been ready to break?
No, sir.
Okay. Right.
Bad job.
Yeah.
Get some news.
Yeah, I want to dig a little deeper. All right, let's get into the truth.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
It's our final truth episode, is it not?
It sure is, because it's the tight ends and we saved the best for last.
So for a tight end, we're defining a great game as more than 15 fantasy points, good games more than 10, and bust games fewer than 7. And we don't hold the old miss games against them, so we're just looking at when we talk about consistency for a player. Love breaking these down. Mark Andrews came in at number 1.
Oh, man.
With a consistency rank of number 2. He was less consistent in the first half of the year, but the most consistent tight end in the second half. 154 targets, 107 receptions, 1,361 yards, and 9 touchdowns, which I don't remember the exact number, but I think he's in the top 5 or 6 in total receiving yards of any player. So, I mean, 1,361 receiving yards, 9 touchdowns, 35% great game, 65% good, rarely busted, third most tight end targets ever in a season. Essentially, whatever happened on offense in Baltimore on any given week, different quarterback, different injury, different situation, different running back, who, by the way, I looked up the running back after contact metrics. Surprise, surprise, Baltimore was dead last in the entire league.
What? No.
But the stalwart
Freeman?
Yeah.
Latavius?
Tyson?
Bell?
Yeah, that's the better one. Tyson really didn't get a share. But Mark Andrews was the consistency for that offense at every turn. And the recipe of just throwing him the ball no matter what always seemed to work.
Do you worry at all about how much, you know, came when it wasn't Lamar Jackson there? Do you think that next year his target share or any of those numbers comes down significantly into the offense and he becomes less of the dominant one of the offense?
Yes, 100%.
You do?
That's why I said what I did at the beginning of the show, where it might be the time to trade Mark Andrews in a dynasty league if you could go get a Kyle Pitts and stuff, because this is the peak opportunity for him. This was no one left. I mean, Hollywood Brown dealt with injuries again. You had Rashad Bateman on and off the field. You had no running game. You had no Lamar Jackson for a large portion of the season. So will Mark Andrews be great for a long time? Yeah, he will. But he might not be this great. At least I don't believe so.
I think that he has. He was so dominant on the field, and it wasn't getting lucky of, you know, he got six targets, and he came down with a touchdown this time. No, it was the touchdown upside combined with a high reception, high total yardage. I can understand, I understand the argument of, well, Lamar missed a lot of games over the second half of the season. I would take that argument to try and go trade for Mark Andrews. Like, he is somebody that I want on my dynasty squad. I think he's easily a top three dynasty tight end at the moment. And
this was a very, very big jump.
It was.
You're talking about a target jump from 88 to 154, nearly double the total receptions, 58 to 107. I just don't think I agree with that, because I know that, like, Lamar he's definitely had more of a direct rapport with Hollywood Brown in the past. I felt like it was no one left situation.
I understand that this could be one of those situations, but here's what we also know about Mark Andrews. He's been great since he's been in the league.
Yeah.
He's been a top five tight end every year other than his rookie year, which no rookies are good. And now he's only 26 years old. He dominated the NFL. He is one of those bigger, stronger, faster than you tight ends that is, a presence out there that you just can't cover. And while he did a lot more without Lamar Jackson than he did with Lamar Jackson during the course of this year, I also think that he proved that he can be the centerpiece of this offense in a way that I think going into next year, they can build this offense around him. But to illustrate it, because we're talking about what is the truth, mm-hmm. and to illustrate Andy's point, there were 4 games without Lamar Jackson this year and 12 with him. He averaged 13.36 fantasy points per game, half PPR, with Lamar, and 19 point to without Lamar. So he definitely did a lot more per game without Lamar.
Yep. I would just be willing to bet everything in the world that the target share comes down and that the offense can function outside of him next year. You know, J.K. Dobbins returning and Gus Edwards and another year of Rashad Bateman. He'll be a very interesting name in the offseason. So, again, when you point that out, it's more what can you capitalize on? Like, can you get more for any other tight end in a dynasty league right now than Mark Andrews?
No, I think he's the number one tight end in dynasty.
Really? I think
too. I look at him as he's still more discounted than the other guys.
Who would you draft if you were drafting, a tight end in a dynasty startup?
Right.
I feel like Mark Andrews might be the first tight end. It would be between him and Pitts because of youth, but obviously, whatever you want to say about, oh, maybe he's worse with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson throws touchdowns. He's been great with Lamar Jackson. You can't compare that to Kyle Pitts, and it's like, okay, you've got a maybe 1 year left of Matt Ryan, and then you hope that he someday finds a quarterback that can throw enough touchdowns his way.
So, Mike, is your point more that he may be entering a multi-year Kelsey peak?
Yes. And I would be betting.
Period?
All the arguments of what. Why this year was so much bigger than the other ones, those totally make sense. But I saw a player who, that was his, like, he took the jump in the NFL. He's always open, incredible hands. He's such a good player, and his situation is very stable, where he's young, has the new contract.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson is the guy. Meanwhile, like George Kittle is going to have a brand new quarterback throwing him the ball. Travis Kelce is on the way out. Kyle Pitts is, it's not all hope and promise for him, because you saw a lot of really, really good things that Pitts is going to hit, but there still is a margin for Kyle Pitts that is, well, you hope he gives you a season like Mark Andrews just did.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you're going to have quarterback.
Yes.
You could have a new quarterback in a year in
you
Atlanta.
You will.
Yeah. Travis Kelce came in at number two. He was number one in consistency. He was more consistent over the course of the year than Andrews was. Number one in the first half, number two in the second half. You know, his margin for error, his margin for not being the great Zeus, you know, 92 for 11, 25, and 9 felt like a bad year.
Oh, super disappointing. Only 1,100 yards, 9 touchdowns, not even double-digit touchdowns. What a loser.
And he was real close. Total points wise with Andrews, was he not?
He was pretty close, but he missed a game. So I believe he is. It wasn't a hair. And even on a per game basis, I believe Andrews outscored Kelce.
Andrews was 14.6 and Kelce was 13.5
per game.
Kelce still had a higher percentage of great games and good games, slightly. More busts. Played much better against bottom 16 defenses. Whereas Andrews performed better against top defenses, interestingly enough. And he was great on the road. Andrews was better at home. Led all tight ends and third down receptions. I mean, we know what Kelce is. Mm-hmm. The question about Kelce, unfortunately, comes down to
age.
What he will be.
Age is the only question to me. That's it. He is unfathomably talented. He's been the best tight end in the league over the last decade. He's tied to the best passing quarterback in the league. I mean, there is only one question, and it's when does it stop?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Going into next year, you know, I feel like he very well should be drafted ahead of Mark Andrews. You know, we haven't seen it drop off yet in a redraft league. Obviously, in a dynasty league, this is where I think you should start looking to move on, because he's older. I mean, you're 32 years old. This is where, you know, when I went looking at comps of other great Hall of Fame level dominant tight ends who played a long time, like Tony Gonzalez, 32 years old was kind of their peak.
Think about a player that Mike, who's a player Mike has traditionally despised on the show at tight end position.
Jason Witten.
Who said he was old, busted. Who was old, busted tight end?
Jimmy Graham?
No.
I mean, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Well, we have all spent time.
Oh, Zach Ertz?
Speculating on Zach Ertz's demise, right? Ah, he's old, busted. That was a phrase associated with
it. No, it was washed.
Okay, washed. Well, Zach Ertz is younger than Travis Kelce, is my point.
Yeah, because he's washed. He's so clean.
Younger than Travis Kelce. So I'm illustrating that that is the time period in which it is fair to question. Now, Kelce is as much of a unicorn at the tight end position as Derrick Henry is at the running back position. But
I gotta interject here. I'm looking at this great website, the fantasyfootballers.com, and I just pulled
keyword.
Up Travis Kelce's profile page, and I have never seen Travis Kelce look like what he looks like on our profile page.
I posted it in the Slack too. Is that what, or did you find it independently?
I found it totally independently.
So we both found it, both had a chuckle and had to share it.
This is the mustache version of Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce, short hair, mustache. But like a mustache that resembles...
It's split in the middle.
It is split in the middle. It looks like a very finely manicured pair of eyebrows.
It does. I mean, this is Eugene Levy's eyebrows on this man's lip.
That's true.
This picture is unbelievable. Go to thefantasyfootballers.com, Travis Kelce,
hopefully
and
doesn't
enjoy
update.
Yourself. It does not look like him at all. Is this the right person?
And he's also very confused in the picture.
Is this picture hurt or help his dynasty stop?
It definitely hurts. I mean, you can't look at this and be like, that's the guy I want.
He had a couple of those unforeseen games this year where he was absolutely a bust, which were maybe... small glimpses. I mean, we know you guys talked about it when you talked about Tyreek Hill and the wide receiver, the truth of that position and, you know, the average yards downfield. Like, some things changed in the Kansas City offense by necessity. They had to adjust. It almost got them back to the Super Bowl. But whatever happened, whatever adjustments were being made, left a bigger window for a bad game from Travis Kelce this year than had been in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. He definitely had... a couple of bad busts, but he also, I mean, in week 15, if you were in the playoffs,
yeah,
you played in week 16.
Yeah.
Is he still worth a second round in redraft?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There is a huge point gap between the top two,
yes.
Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce, and the next tight end on the list, which last year there was a huge gap between
Kelce
the second
and
the third. Yeah. Dalton Schultz.
What?
The doctor.
The doctor.
How did he get here?
Sixth in consistency. He did it the Jason Witten way. Consistency. Sixth in consistency this year. Ended up 24% great, 47% good, 29% bust. He also got here by sneaking in a number 3 overall finish in week 18 when no one cared.
That's how he did it.
And, you know, he had a rough patch right in the middle of the year. I mean, if you had... You had no tight end, really, of value if you were planning on using Dalton Schultz from week 7, his bye week, through really week 11.
Yeah, it was rough because it hit right when you finally bought in.
Yes.
Like, when Dalton Schultz, the number 1 overall on week 3, like, oh, that's fun. Then he hits you with number 6, and it's, this is a
possibility. That's fun, too.
This is a possibility that Dalton Schultz... could be locked in, and then just a couple weeks later, he was destroying your soul for a month and a half.
One finish inside the top 15 between weeks 7 through 14.
Man, tight ends suck. I mean, the reality is the other great tight ends. There were other great tight ends this year, but they didn't play enough. This was
points per game great.
Exactly. They were points per game great. They were far better than the doctor here, but the doctor...
he accumulated.
Yeah, you accumulate. I mean, look, you say whatever you want, but when you are a doctor, health is important. And he played all 16. You know,
17.
Oh, thank you, 17. I will say that the stretch in the middle where it didn't go very well. Michael Gallup came back from his injury week 10, so 5 of the 7 poor weeks were when Gallup came
back.
And
that was a concern.
Now, Gallup is a free agent, also tore his ACL, so we'll have to wait to see. I think that the reality is what Dalton Schultz is next year is one of those, assuming that he re-signs with the Cowboys, is that he is a – I don't think anyone's hopping the fence to get Dalton Schultz. He'll still be a late-round guy to me.
Is that a phrase? I'm picturing it. I want to picture this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
They hop in the fence because they got to get in there?
Yeah, you got
to... Is this a hop offense like there's a concert or something and I'm I don't want to buy a ticket, so yeah. I'm hopping the fence, or they're sold out.
Exactly. Maybe there's okay. a little fence, you know. That's...
How high is this? Is this like the metal gate fence? Is this a?
It's a metal fence, but it's 5 footer. I mean, so okay. you gotta jump. You're not just scissor walking over this fence.
Yeah, I remember one time backing down my street and watching you jump a fence because yes. I was picking you up to go to the Suns game.
Tell me you weren't impressed.
I videoed because I didn't expect it to go as well as it did.
You videoed and you were disappointed.
I was disappointed.
Because you thought I was going to eat it.
You did not fall. Yeah, he's a free agent. You still have Jarwin under contract. Jarwin doesn't really concern me because it's kind of a binary thing here. If you bring Dalton Schultz back, you're doing it because he's your guy, because he proved he can be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he's gone, it's because he's taking money somewhere else. And, you know, and that, then we can talk about Jarwin again. But I think that Dalton Schultz is probably coming back.
What?
See, I
think he'll be back.
I think he will leave because what he did will get him paid more than it should.
I think he might get franchised.
They call that I guess if they don't have anywhere else to put it. But I could see him going the route of Austin Hooper.
Okay. That makes perfect sense.
A really good
sense.
Year where he just kind of was solid, and then someone goes and spends way too much for him.
Okay. Let me give you two destinations for Dalton Schultz, just to kind of tease out your reaction. Okay.
It's gonna be bad. Go on.
Indianapolis.
Nah, meh.
Because they'd be a rumor.
Who's their quarterback?
They'd be a rumored destination.
It'll still be Wentz. I mean, it's if they pay up for him. It's interesting because you have Pittman and who else for pass catchers.
It sounds a lot like Austin Hooper. They had some other tight ends there, but they paid up for him, and it was like an average, above average quarterback with Baker. And
right, but we've also now found out the truth of Baker he destroys fantasy football.
Tennessee. Tennessee's another top destination for a tight end.
That one is better to me.
Yeah, I mean, Julio, A.J. Brown, it's your ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, they missed a Jonnu Smith this year. I feel like they could utilize.
So did the Patriots.
You Ferk Daddy didn't get it done?
Ferk Daddy is a placeholder daddy.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on. We don't have to talk about him anymore. George Kittle, consistency ranking number 4, missed time again with injury. First half of the season was a number 9 inconsistency. Second half was 4th. Look, I this is a big discussion topic here.
Sure.
He was 71 for 9, 10, and 6. 25% target share. Cool. That's great. Second among tight ends. But, you know, busted 43% of the time. This was not elite level tight end play.
No, it was very disappointing.
And so now you have new quarterback. Trey Lance is going to be the guy. George Kittle has shown, would you call him injury prone? Behind his back.
Behind his back.
But if it's behind his back, I would still cover my mouth and whisper it.
Okay.
Yeah. And deny it. Right.
Oh,
like
yes.
Later.
Yes.
Really pronounced like that?
Though?
Yes.
Okay.
The where I'm intentionally making it look like I'm telling
injury
a secret.
Prone.
Yeah. I mean, He does play through injuries. He's a tough guy out there. I think he's had a little bit of, you know, all jokes aside, I don't think I would personally view him as injury prone. I realize
one full season.
Yes, the last 3 years it's been 14 games, 8 games, 14 games. But I do think that he is right up there with the other two big names, Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce, and George Kittle will be there.
Darren Waller.
He'll be above Darren Waller to me. I would put Kittle in that third spot for redraft next year, and you might end up with a pretty good discount because of the quarterback change, the injuries over the last couple of years, and he certainly had, you know, some dominant
games. Let me give you one more trend.
I think the discount's going to be like shopping at Kohl's.
Oh, it's fake? They just mark it up and then say it's discounted?
Uh-huh.
So this is too many years to not make this a correlation. Kyle Shanahan runs his offense a certain way, and that way means that George Kittle, he just doesn't score a lot of touchdowns. I mean, he just doesn't. You're talking about a stretch of 2-5-5-2-6. And so...
Career high this year.
Yeah, there was a career high, 6 touchdowns. So, to me, that is something that has happened for so long, and because you have consistency at the the head coach position. Look, around the goal line, they hand the ball off. They dump it to Debo. They do inventive stuff. They do stuff like Andy Reid does sometimes, you know, where you've got inventive play calling, and for some reason it's not just go to George Kittle.
Well, it's, you've got to establish it.
Well, yeah, yeah. And it's so the question is kind of like, have we – let me ask you this. Have we seen the best season of his career already, and what is he in a dynasty league?
Good question.
I don't believe we have seen the best season of George Kittle's career. He had 6 touchdowns this year, but they all came in a stretch of 6 games where he actually looked like a touchdown dominant machine for that small stretch. Debo stayed healthy this year, which was great. Obviously, those, you know, his touchdowns take away a little bit from George Kittle. George Kittle is 28 years old, so he's still got, you know, 3 solid years left of tight end premium age production.
So you're not shopping him in a dynasty league, because I think that there might be the time.
I would be kicking the tires for George Kittle personally.
Okay, Mike, where are you on that?
I tried to get George Kittle this year because I have
before or after.
It was before.
Okay,
it was before and like ended.
Any
midpoint.
Regrets? Would you have been mad if you had gotten him after
no,
what happened this year?
I was going all in on the Trey Lance stack.
How'd that work out?
Those 2 games I got to play in were pretty sweet.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, Gronk came in at number 5.
He was great.
But there's not a lot to say because I...
It's done.
The truth is it's over.
It's probably done. I mean, he likes money.
Even if he comes back, I'm not...
Yes, okay.
If Gronk plays next year without Tom Brady, I'm not drafting him. I won't draft him at any point. There's other tight ends that I'll take a shot on.
I agree.
They're going to take a step forward. I don't need Kyle Trask's touchdowns.
No, this is much more like Romo Witten, where like Witten really wasn't physically what he should have been to make production happen on the field, but the relationship was so tight that it just worked.
Mm-hmm.
But a great year, 50% great games. I mean, if he had played the whole season, he might have been the number one tight end.
Yes.
Or really close, just because he would have probably scored 12 times and still went 55 for 802. Oh, I thought you had
it. I pulled back.
I saw you.
I didn't want to.
I got it.
We're out of practice. I mean, it's
off-season.
Number 6 was Zach Ertz of the Arizona Cardinals. We talked about, you know, he's a year younger than Travis Kelce. There's also, he's a free agent. He was number 10 in consistency. You know, he was necessary to Arizona in a bigger way towards the end of the year because of the absence of DeAndre Hopkins. So there is maybe an argument that consistency will go down if he's brought back. Only 6% great. So he didn't give you weak winning weeks. He was just kind of, to me, he was Dalton Schultz light.
Yeah, that's fair. He was better than I think most people expected coming into this year. Obviously, the trade helped. Going to Kyler Murray, having him be more of a centerpiece of the offense. I don't know if you realize, he was number 2 in targets at the tight end position.
Yikes.
Like,
what?
Yeah, he was heavily...
112. Wow, that shows how many targets Mark Andrews got.
Yeah, and it also shows how many targets you need for
Zach Ertz to do something.
I think if he goes back, if he's re-signed by the Cardinals, he's currently a free agent, he will be an interesting name that people might not really want, but he will be a medium, reliable tight end. If he goes somewhere else, I think that I'm OUT.
When was the Hopkins injury was against Green Bay, right? I'll pull up his game log. I was hoping you guys remembered it off the top of your head. Because Ertz had the big game right after the trade. Well, you know, 66 and a touchdown.
Hopkins was gone weeks 9 through 11, and then 15 and after.
Yeah, so he missed.
So exactly when Zach Ertz was having some success was
50 through 18. We watched a lot of Zach Ertz. He is still physically able to go give you a decent season of football. But he's not going to produce fantasy numbers for you without massive volume. Was that a fair summation?
Yeah.
Kyle Pitts came in at number 7. Consistency rank of 16. That was not the name of the game for Kyle Pitts.
This 12, poor guy.
12% great games, 18% good, 41%. But he had 110 targets. So he was the 3rd highest targeted tight end. 68 for 1,026.
I say that there's
and 1.
Yes, the touchdowns were an absolute travesty. But
how dare you use a plural word?
Yeah.
The touchdown. Oh, yes. I was referring to the metric.
Yes. No.
The touchdown the was Pro a big Bowl.
He's never heard of a plural metric like touchdowns.
112 targets turned into 763 yards for Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
110 targets turned into over 1,000 receiving yards for Kyle Pitts.
He was the best yards per catch of all the tight ends. He was 15.5 yards per reception. So massive volume. This is why, you know, a lot of optimism, but you had no touchdowns. You give Kyle Pitts three more touchdowns to an awful four total, and it's a different year. But it was difficult. They had nobody else, and Matt Ryan did not play well. He was better, more consistent against bottom defenses. Makes sense.
Tight ends just get so much better. Tight ends grow. Tight ends don't stay what they are their rookie year. There's so much more to learn at the position, and I realize he was almost more of a wide receiver than a tight end. But sky is the limit to him. If they can get him a quarterback over the future, and next year he's good enough. I think next year I'm really curious where Kyle Pitts is drafted.
It's going to be high.
Yeah, it will, and it may not be worth it. We'll see. Since 1990, there have been 18 rookies. So this is spanning wide receivers with 1,000 receiving yards. Kyle Pitts is the only one with fewer than 6 touchdowns.
He had a lot fewer.
Every other rookie who's been over 1,000 yards had at least 6, which is crazy.
He'll be a second-round draft pick.
You think he'll jump to the 2?
For sure.
This year in redraft?
Yeah.
No chance.
Where do you think he's going?
3rd round.
Yeah, it's going to be very high.
Yeah, I mean, they're going. Here's why. The dynasty excitement, I get it, but they're going to rebuild the entire wide receiver core. Everybody they have is a free agent. Their entire wide receiver, they'll get a flashy free agent. They'll get a veteran free agent. They'll get a rookie pick that everybody is in love with.
Is there a flashy free agent that they can get?
No.
Sure.
Who?
I don't know. Godwin.
Chris Godwin,
Alan
if he's
Robinson.
Not franchised.
Robinson's flashy?
It's flashy enough.
It's flashy.
To push him to the 3rd round, Mike.
The money might
That's
be
like
flashy.
Beep. Beep. That's how Allen Robinson's flashy.
Let me put it this way. Just go back a season. If Kenny Golladay signed in Atlanta, Kyle Pitts' excitement would be muddled.
Yeah, but
if
Kenny Golladay were a free agent this year, it would be more exciting than the free agents were available. Assuming Adams.
Is that how you feel about the class?
Yeah, well, it's headlined by Davante Adams, but I don't see a world
where
Adams.
Yeah, you guys discussed
Adams,
that too, right?
Yeah, I don't see him getting out of Green Bay.
The cap situation is tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do think he's probably moments from a long-term deal there.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think they'll franchise him. I think he's back with a long-term deal.
I think Kyle Pitts is the 3rd drafted tight end in redraft next year. I think they'll take him ahead of Kittle.
Who's they?
The world.
The people.
Oh, okay.
The average in the average draft position.
Kelce, Andrews, and then Pitts?
Yeah.
Okay. Kelce, Andrews.
And I think that'll put him in.
I just
maybe the 3rd.
Yeah, 3rd round. I mean, he reminds me a little bit of kind of where Andrews has gone in recent years. I mean, Waller's still going to be up there. Kittle's still going to be up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, those guys will be, I think.
Let me ask you right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know what the landscape was, but are you drafting Kyle Pitts over Kittle and Waller?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely over Waller. And I think ahead of Kittle.
What?
Man,
why
you just love Kyle Pitts, man?
I do love Kyle Pitts. It's so ironic.
I know.
You know, I was painted as this Pitts hater. I wasn't. I just didn't.
You were also. You weren't just painted as a Pitts hater. You were painted as a Hockenson lover.
Yeah.
Guilty as charged as well.
Dawson Knox at 8. I had some debates about Mr. Knox on Twitter, Dynasty Leagues.
You love him.
I love Dawson Knox.
Yeah, I do. I love the. All the power-ups he has accumulated around him, which is long-term elite quarterback play, trustworthy offense, increased target share, like all of the externals to me, you know, super young. I mean, there's a lot I like about it. I think that the counter-argument is there's some strong ones against Dawson Knox, which would be like, I don't know, he almost had a Tonyan type of season. You know, 9 touchdowns. 9's a lot.
It is.
Could have given a couple to Kyle Pitts, and he would have appreciated it. But 49 for 587, that's not that – you don't write home about that.
No.
So you do have to project a little with Dawson Knox, and you have to make the – didn't we do this with Mark Andrews in year 2? Where you have to go, all right, volume will increase, touchdowns might regress, it should balance out, and you've got yourself a top 10 tight end, top five tight end.
Yeah, you do. The thing is, where is Dawson Knox going to be drafted? And I think it'll still be...
It'll be late.
Later. Oh, yeah. Like, he could jump into that middle round where it's like the kind of almost that dead zone, deadish zone for tight ends where I prefer not to draft him. So hopefully he doesn't go in there. But if he's a bit later, Dawson Knox is very appealing to me.
I think behind, Dawson Knox will be an eighth rounder in redrafts next year somewhere.
I think even later maybe.
Yeah, if he's a double-digit guy, then I'll be about him because he can score the touchdowns. But the 49 receptions, I'm not super excited. And unlike Andrews was this guy where you saw these flashes. Then the second year, he really took a step up. You know, this was Knox's third year after doing very little his first two seasons, including, you know, last year with Josh Allen in a great breakout year. So I'm not 100. I'm more
You'll take
worried.
Dallas Goedert over Dawson Knox, right?
I would take Dallas Goedert over Dawson Knox. Yeah, I think I'll take a handful of guys over Dawson Knox. I'm less bullish.
Yeah, I mean that's fair. I'm
also a big Gabe Davis fan. So,
Yeah. Mike, your thoughts on Dawson Knox's season? 27% great games, 40% good, 47% busts. He's one of seven tight ends with 9+ receiving touchdowns on fewer than 50 receptions, which Hunter Henry did this year too.
Sure, but I'd rather have Josh Allen as my fantasy reliant quarterback for the tight end. I thought it was a very solid breakout season. You picked him up off the waiver wire for the most part. And yeah, tight ends give you trash games, but the fact that he, like, at least every other game or so, he was coming through for your team, helping you win a week. So I really like him moving forward.
Hunter Henry was number 9. 29% good games, 18% great games, 53% busts. What was it? Well, it was 50 for 603 and 9. It was 9 touchdowns. Is there any of us in this room not willing to dismiss this season? Should we give him more credit? He was 11th in consistency, just on the outside edge. Everyone expected Jonnu Smith to kind of, you know, them to cannibalize each other.
No, I'm not. I'm not it.
So you're willing to dismiss
him. I am willing to dismiss this year for the most part. I'm not excited. I still think that they need to build up the wide receiver core more. I think they will do that this offseason. I do love Mac Jones's future. I'm sure he's going to throw a lot of touchdowns, and Hunter Henry will be a beneficiary. If he's you know, in those double-digit rounds and all the guys I like are gone, I'd be fine to draft him. But I don't think this is that the touchdowns were indicative of a guaranteed great season next year at all.
Mike, any optimism for the 27-year-old Hunter Henry in year two with Mac Jones?
Pass.
He's my least favorite archetype of tight end.
Right.
Because I don't feel like I can trust playing him ever on any given way. He reminds me of Kyle Rudolph with Minnesota, where I close my eyes when I put him in the lineup and just hope I get the touchdown. Because if you don't get, like, I don't know, number 15 on the week. You get number 35 on the week, or 44, or 67. You get goosed.
Yeah, call me crazy, but I prefer for my tight ends to not bust the majority of their games. And he busted the majority of his games.
All right, solid point.
For me, it's more of just the growth. Like, Hunter Henry is a very good, capable NFL tight end.
Agreed.
But we're 5 years into the career. At this point, it just...
Yeah, five years and he's peaked, like, at number 9.
The probability of him taking another step for fantasy football purposes is just... It's very low historically. Not that he can't, because he's good, but with the system that I think that they will continue to run with Mac Jones, it's really hard to see a world where Hunter Henry improves drastically on this.
All right, I want to talk about Dallas Goedert, T.J. Hockenson, and Darren Waller to close out our tight end truth segment. Dallas Goedert ended up 10th with a consistency rank of 7, which was pretty much what he was doing the whole year. 47% good games, 13% great, 40% bust. Really was dominant against bottom 16 defenses, almost 13 points a game.
Was really bad against top defenses.
You know, and that kind of makes sense to me. that he was bad against top defenses. It's because Jalen Hurts was bad against top defenses. Like there were, he took advantage of matchups that were to his favor, and to his credit, he got it done. But then it seemed like there were games that he got stifled, and it seemed like everybody felt it, whether it was Devontae Smith having a bad week, Dallas Goedert. Now, Dallas Goedert was number one among tight ends in yards per target and yards per route run.
Those are great metrics for presuming future success. Like those things, when you're doing those things, usually the counting stats will come in later. They didn't as much as you wanted this year. I think most people would be disappointed in what Dallas Goedert did, considering that Zach Ertz was gone. Like, I would have been way higher on Dallas Goedert in draft season if I knew Zach Ertz was going to leave. I thought he would dominate given the opportunity by himself. He didn't, but I still do like the talent of him. These metrics.
And, he did okay.
Yeah, no, and he wasn't bad.
Midseason contract extension. He probably got another year of hopefully further developing Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I'll be pretty in on Dallas Goedert next year ahead of several of the people we just talked about.
Hockenson was really a success story.
Hockenson just made me sad and angry.
But then he wasn't, but then he kind of was, but then he kind of wasn't.
Because he tricked us.
I mean, his consistency rank was 5.
Yeah.
He had 83 targets, 61 for 583 and 4 in 12 games.
He only busted 33% of the time, which for a tight end is actually a really solid number.
So to answer the question, 50% good, yeah, 33% bust. So, like, was he?
I think he was good.
But was he? I mean,
he didn't
break
out.
Were you happy if you drafted him? I think that's the hardest question I've asked.
No, you're definitely not. I can say no. Fifth round with all of those wide receivers that went in the fifth round, like that 5-6 area this year,
okay,
you are not happy with what Hockenson did.
Yeah, I would say that that's true. I mean, it's a sliding scale. It's all relative to who else you would have drafted. Were you happier with Hockenson than Waller? Yes. Obviously, he didn't help you in the playoffs as he got injured and was shut down. But he did show enough flashes to where going forward, it's going to be another debate, right?
Hockenson or Goddard?
I'll go Hockenson.
Even with the profile picture on his page.
Oh, time to dig in. Let's find out.
What are we doing?
Oh, yeah.
How are we getting these pictures, man?
Well, that one was from the Dwarven Mines.
Oh, my gosh. Also, get a bigger helmet, brother.
I know.
Now I'm on my way.
Mike, yeah, you got to get in on this, man.
Yeah. Well,
this is something special.
Oh, yeah.
He's in the Dwarven Mines with an extra small helmet on.
Also, currently mid-dump taking.
Oh, God.
You got to check these pictures out.
Wow. But
we only
he's
show-
also working a forge at the exact same
Did
time.
Do we get discounts on the picture pack if they're all taking a dump in the middle of it?
We like
the constipation pack.
Impromptu, off-the-cuff photos.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he's die-cut in this pose. I mean, if I'm putting this picture together, I'm looking for another one. All right, so Hockenson.
This was an homage to his former coach.
I think Hockenson proved something to me this year, which is that he can have what I love at the tight end position, which is week-winning weeks, right? He can go out and dominate a week. Finish number 3 for the first 2 weeks of the year. Finish number 1 overall in week 8. Number 4 in week 13. So do you want to see more consistency? Of course. Stay healthy. Get some consistency on the offensive line. Put the offense in a position to have success. I mean, they ended the year fairly strong. Future seems pretty bright for TJ Hockenson. Has the draft capital. He's 24 years old.
He won't cost you a fifth rounder.
Are you a Dawson Knox or Hockenson, Mike?
Oh, man. If ADP is not factoring in at all, I think I'll go Knox.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that is such an easy Hockenson for me.
I think I would even have to say Hockenson on that one. Darren Waller finished at number 9 in consistency, 18 overall, hurt over the last part of the year. You know, was this a case of starting too good to be true with the target totals at 18 targets in week 1? Look, he was 55.
55!
For 665 and 2. Okay. I mean, this was a bummer because you had to invest high third round draft capital on a player that, look, you draft a tight end that high, they have to win you weeks for the weeks they're there, and he didn't do it very often.
Mm-mm. And I'm not entirely sure why he still had enough targets coming his way. Not 18 like in week one. And we talk about how that was such a letdown, but it wasn't
how
like...
How does that even happen in a game?
I know how it happened. I want to bring this up. And to your question, Jason, do you worry about the lack of John Gruden? Because Gruden was famous for these quotes after, he's the best player, I'm just going to find a way to get him the ball, the targets. Like, did the team get better and push towards the playoffs because they had to go other places in the offense?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the reality is Gruden was there for the first half of the season when after week one, the targets were pretty much the same from after week one. The rest of the season, he was on a great target count. You look at weeks 2 through 12, the rest of his games outside of the week one, he was on pace for 122 targets.
Yeah.
I mean, we just talked about that's the number Zach Ertz was the number two targeted tight end in the
league. Yeah, that would have put him at number two.
Yeah, and I mean, that's great. That's what you hope for. And yet he was disappointing through the majority of those games. They weren't all bad.
This is going to be a real weird pick next year.
I wonder if he's losing a step at all because he's such an athletic he has just been a dominator out there.
Yes, he has.
That was how he was kind of found, that diamond in the rough, because his athletic profile was awesome. He's going to be 30 this coming season. And while that's not a death knell for tight ends can dominate at 30. It is, you know, if you're relying on athleticism and you're losing speed, then all of a sudden, you know, in the NFL, if you lose a step, mm-hmm. it feels like 12.
I don't know if I'd go that far yet with him.
Yeah,
I mean, he caught 29% of his passes over the last 2 weeks. That's not good.
Oh man,
that's not 29? Supposed to happen.
Nine?
Yeah, he caught 2 of 9 targets in the final week of the year, and 2 of 5 in the week before that, or the last time he played before that. So, you know, I think this is just going to be a really like difficult player. He was number three, number two at the position. The injury's gonna ward people off. The 29 years old, whatever, gonna be 30, and then Derek Carr, and the change of they got a new head coach too,
mm-hmm.
which is McDaniels. Did mm-hmm. we talk about him on the show? Did that get
announced? Who knows?
We've announced it, but I don't think we've. I mean, we're waiting for our coaching changes episode in March.
He's known as an offensive mind, which is something that, you know. You probably would feel more confident having his mind come in there and run the offense than yep. Bisaccia staying there.
At this point, for redraft, I'm willing to forgive this season.
I think I am too. But where does that mean? Does that mean you're taking him over?
Would you take him over Pitts?
Oh, man. Like, this is an ADP question.
ADP out the window. You just, you know, they're the last two guys on the board. Who would you rather have next year?
I'm going to go Pitts.
I would go Pitts there, yeah. For the hope.
Likewise.
So what about Kittle?
I would go Kittle.
I'd take Kittle.
Okay.
For all those 90-yard bombs that Trey Lance is about to throw.
What about Gronk?
Oh!
With Kyle Trask, Jason's favorite player.
Gronk. Are we going to talk about Tyler Conklin? Back. Is that who we...
What?
I just want to say Conk.
Oh, okay.
We're not.
Okay.
We're not. We're going to stop talking then completely right now.
Thank you.
Oh, gosh. That had to have been Al.
It was.
Yeah, I fired you like 7-8 times today.
You did. That's I know. True story. At least 5 of them totally deserved too.
Yeah. Anyway, you got any of those cookies? Somebody sent us cookies. Do we got any of them left?
We do.
All right. Well, that
we should wrap this up.
I think we're going to close things down. All right. That is it for the truth. We'll be back with another episode this week. Thanks for tuning in.
Oh man, really sticking the landing.
Yeah. Close it strong.
Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll see you in a couple days. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.